Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from He who lives, our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text for today is the epistle reading, and it's especially those first four verses which Brian read just a moment ago, but which I point out to you with emphasis. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This is our text. Please be seated. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched. Jesus has done it, dear friends. His life, His resurrection life is filling the world. His love is echoing out in ripples that expand from our proclamation last Sunday morning, from this resounding shout of Alleluia. These are the realities. The message is that Jesus died. He was killed on that Good Friday, that He rose to life again on the Easter Sunday morning. And this is the message which endures throughout the life of the church, His people, breathing life into the world. But how does it come? How does it come to us? I wonder if you, when you hear this story of Thomas, feel the way I do, that I wish I was there. I wish I also could have seen and been invited to touch. John, who probably wrote the epistles of John, was there. At least tradition in the church says that he was the author of this epistle, 1 John. Probably also the same person who wrote the Gospel of John. It's contested, but it's sort of insignificant for our point today. But he was there. He saw. John was probably the disciple who reclined against Jesus at the Last Supper, so close to Jesus that he could lean back and rest his head on his chest. That challenges our ideas of what men do together. But he was close, that's the point. John was there, he touched Jesus. He heard and saw Jesus with his own eyes and ears. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have touched with our hands. This is what the author of 1 John is talking about. It's Jesus. The same Jesus who appeared to Thomas and invited him, come and touch. Feel for yourself. I wonder if you can imagine having a post-Easter, a post-resurrection hug from Jesus. A hug. I don't know if you're a hugging person. I grew up in a hugging household. My dad, he was very free, and he kind of hugs everybody. He sort of, it doesn't matter if you're a stranger you just met, he'll give you a hug. That challenges some of us, I know. We're not told about Jesus hugging his disciples, but there is one passage in John 20 where Mary, upon seeing the resurrected Jesus on that Easter morning, is told, "Don't cling to me." Jesus says, don't cling to me. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? It almost implies that maybe Mary was advancing with a hug in mind. And Jesus says, "I haven't yet ascended to the Father." And, you know, that text is a little bit challenging for me. It's another sermon in itself. But I wonder if you would receive a post-resurrection hug from Jesus. Would you allow him to get that close to you? That which we have touched, writes John here. Now I'm skipping around, I know, and hopefully I haven't lost you. But the text is 1 John, and he's talking about the Jesus who had touched him physically. It incites a hunger in me, this text. Because, as I've said, I wish I was there. I wish I could also see Jesus in the same way. Lean back against him, perhaps. Put my finger into his wounds in his hands, like Thomas was invited to do. But the day-to-day reality in our time, in our world, in our life, is that we hear, we see and we hear, and we believe by faith, but not by touch. We can't touch Jesus. I can't touch him with my hands, at least not in the same way that I can touch you. I can shake your hand or I can give you a hug. I haven't felt his arms around me squeezing. if you want to get right to the details of it. At least not the same way that John or Mary did. Now, I have to tell you, I have to be really honest with you, that writing those words this morning, part of those words this morning, I was challenged because I can say I can't touch him with my hands, and yet I can. I can say I can't hear his voice, and yet I can. I can say I haven't felt his arms around me squeezing, and yet I can, sometimes. Sometimes through the miraculous presence of Jesus, as I'm reading, or as I'm preparing, or as I'm in prayer, or even in worship here, or even at the Lord's table as we come and we receive his body and blood, we do touch him. We even take him into ourselves in this mysterious sacrament. But I think that we can probably agree it's not quite the same thing. It's not quite the same thing. So I'm going to press pause on this train of thought for just a moment. And because we're thinking about Thomas and John, those who actually were eyewitnesses and spent time with Jesus, we don't have that privilege, but what do we have? What do we touch? I wonder, there's a children's song, I think it was, well, I don't even want to guess who it was written by because I would maybe say it wrong, but it was about 4 hugs a day. Have you ever heard that song? 4 hugs a day. That's the minimum. That's how the song goes. You need 4 hugs a day. It's got this nice, wonderful children's melody to it. I remember hearing that song as a kid and thinking, well, yeah, I think I probably had 4. I probably had more than that. My dad, as I say, was free with his hugs. But what about you? Did you have 4 hugs yesterday? I wonder. We have this idea of personal space, don't we, in Western culture? We think that we have this bubble around us, and if someone comes in your bubble, and you teach this at preschool even, if someone comes in your bubble, then you want your bubble back, so you back up. Other cultures in the world, they have a little bit smaller bubble. And I remember seeing that for the first time as I was in Ukraine, and I got onto a crowded tram and pressed up against someone's armpit. I was thinking, this is a little bit too much in my personal space. Maybe you've been in a part of the world like that. But what do you touch? What do you intentionally seek out for touch? You might touch the familiar. Maybe you have a favorite Bible that you hang on to, that you know the feel of. You can touch its paper. You can even see the words that are written there and touch the print. Maybe you have treasures like at your home, in your own room, that you like to hold on to. Maybe you come here to church and you touch the wood, you touch the pews. You stand and you hold the hymnals that other hands have held. A classmate of mine in seminary was a bit of a germaphobe, and he feared, beyond anything else, the greeting at the end of the service where you would shake hands with the congregation. And so we joked with my friend Murray and gave him a little hand sanitizing kit with some rubber gloves at the end of his graduation, and that made him feel a little bit more safe. But it's not safe, is it? You touch each other. We shake hands. Maybe you even share a hug. If we increasingly lead insulated lives, if we experience the world only through the glossy surface of our smartphone, if we recoil at the touch of others, then we're missing it. We're missing the good news. And as I kind of come around in my circular train of thought here, as I bring it back to Jesus, we don't have the privilege, like Thomas did, of standing in his physical presence and putting our hands into his hands and of touching his wounds. We have the message. We have it by hearing. But that doesn't mean that we aren't sometimes touched. You are the body of Christ. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. You are his body now. And when you touch someone in love, in care, that's Jesus touching them. You are the body of Christ. Your hands are his hands. This is New Testament thinking. And if Jesus ascended into heaven and is hidden from our eyes, at least to a degree, he gives us the role that he played, inviting us to touch and to love and to speak and to serve in all those other ways that we show love, but sometimes to touch. I'd like to invite you to take 2 things with you today, 2 kind of takeaways from the message. One is understanding your need to be touched physically, And, you know, if you're a single person or maybe you live alone, maybe this isn't something that you talk about all that much. That's okay. I think that we all actually have this deep need for physical touch, on some level at least. I want to share with you a brief story about my dad. Again, I've referred to him a couple times, but he was in Egypt a few years ago. He was visiting some missionaries, friends of his, and they had a ministry with girls who were often orphans, or some of them had been rescued from slavery. They had no family, and many of these girls had formed then a community, and their livelihood was working at the dump, and they would reclaim garbage from the dump, and then maybe some things were useful, and they'd bring those into the city and make things out of them. They had very difficult lives. And every now and then, these girls would gather, and these two missionary friends of my dad would work with them. And my dad was invited to speak to them at one of these meetings. And you know, my dad is, as he often just sort of boldly goes into these situations without too much reservation. He was saying some nice words, and as he told me this story, after having kind of preached and said the nice words that he knew were true, words about Jesus, undoubtedly, he thought that it would be a good idea to just offer a hug, like the Father who loves us offers us a hug. And so he stood there, and you know, he's a guy my size, a little bit bigger, and he stepped, unfamiliar with male contact of any form, and they lined up. They started lining up in front of him. And now, there were also those who were thinking, can this happen? We've never seen this happen before. This has never happened before. What's going to happen? Well, what happened was they lined up in front of my dad, and he started giving out hugs, and every single girl lined up, and every single girl got a hug. And then some of those who had a hug went to the back of the line, and they lined up again. And my dad told me this story, and he said that he realized that in that moment that some of these girls, that was their very first hug. They had never, ever, ever had a hug from anyone before. And so, who cares about the rules in that kind of a question, in that kind of a situation? The point is, we need touch. We need human contact. And if you know someone who doesn't have a lot of that, then you might just be Jesus' hands and his side for them. You might be able to touch them in a way that expresses the love and the life of Jesus. Now, you have to be wise about that. It's a risk. Not everybody speaks that language of love. But you will know. You will know, and this is the second takeaway. Know your capacity to give the love of Jesus. This is where we're headed in the book of 1 John. We're going to be reading it throughout the month of April and then into May. We're going to read the whole letter together, and it's all about love. So know your capacity to love. The question that I'll give you to take away is, who will you hug? Maybe that hug is sort of this abstract idea of a hug, and maybe the embrace is actually time spent with a family member or someone that you love, or maybe it's actually a literal hug. Caring comes from the heart. This is the point. So who will you hug? Who will you embrace? Who will you be the arms and the hands and the side of Jesus for? People of faith, I invite you into this joyful experience of being the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and there's more than enough of that body to go around. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of knowing the risen Jesus guard our hearts and minds in him while we wait for that day to come.